Now that was the best one ever. I mean, that was just super. Thank you so much. And thank all of you that worked so hard in putting that together and putting up this set. And for those of you who have to come in and clean up the set. I don't know why I always think about that. I go to a football game and there's stuff all over the place. And I'm thinking somebody's got to come in and clean up, you know. But thank you so much. What a wonderful program. Tommy Battiato mentioned the parade in Broadway on Saturday. Those of you who want a shirt to wear, you need to order that today. So. All right, I'm reading from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, and then chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul tells us Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. I saw a cartoon recently that grabbed my attention. A little girl sits down with her baby brother on her lap to tell him the story of Christmas. But she got things a little mixed up. According to her version, Jesus was born just in time for Christmas up at the North Pole, surrounded by 8 tiny reindeer and the Virgin Mary. Then Santa Claus showed up with lots of toys and stuff and swaddling clothes. The 3 wise men and some Christmas elves all sang carols, while the little drummer boy and Scrooge helped Joseph trim the tree. In the meantime, Frosty the snowman was outside, pointing up into the sky toward this big star. Now that's one version of the Christmas story, and I suspect that for some people, many people, that's no problem at all. Last December, a Jewish rabbi wrote a letter to the News and Observer objecting the way some Christians and Jews who are married to each other celebrate the traditions of both Christmas and Hanukkah, especially the Jews. He stated, "One cannot believe both that God can become human and that God cannot become human. Someone cannot believe that faith in Jesus' suffering brings forgiveness for sins, and also that sins can only be forgiven by the person one sinned against, and only after repairing the damage done by sin." He went on to express his dismay with people in general who would trivialize the real meaning of Christmas. Here's what he wrote. "Despite the elongated season of joy and greeting card sentiments of peace on earth, Christmas is not fundamentally about fun or joy or snow or Santa. It's about one of the greatest narratives in human history. It is about the incarnation of God as a baby, Jesus. For Jews or anyone else to trivialize this central Christian message is to disrespect one of the world's great religions and to advertise the success of those who would commercialize this profoundly religious holy day and transform it into a universal celebration of pablum, fun, joy, cookies. My parents taught me that Christmas is a profoundly religious Christian holiday, and its great spiritual traditions and cultural customs ought to properly be celebrated in Christian homes and in Christian churches. And they taught me to respect this. Wow, imagine that. A Jewish rabbi reminding Christians and Jews what Christmas is all about. And 2,000 years ago, another Jewish rabbi did the very same thing. His name was Saul of Tarsus. We know him best as the Apostle Paul, and in his letter to the Galatians, he said before Christians and Jews and anyone else who would listen, the truth about Christmas. Here's what he said. When the time had fully come, the word fully means that which reaches completion, that which comes to full measure. It simply means the appointed time, the time set by the Father for the sending of His Son. Now, no doubt many expected Him to come much sooner, and some had even given up hope that He would ever come at all. Indeed, down through the ages, men had been looking and longing and waiting for the Messiah. And then, says Paul, at just the right time, He came. James S. Stewart tells us somewhere in the mind and heart of God, from the very foundation of the earth, the Christ had been waiting, hidden in the councils of eternity until the great bell of the ages should strike. And when at last everything in the world and in the souls of men was ready, prepared, He came. The Word of God made flesh, not a moment early and not a moment late, but exactly on the stroke of the hour. It was, He said, the day of the Lord. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son. In the person of His Son, Jesus, God Himself was uniquely present. He was more than a great teacher of religious truths. He was more than a wise man, even more than a good man. God in flesh. He came from God to men. And He was called Emmanuel, God with us. Paul Powell tells us He is our Emmanuel, the God who is with us in every circumstance, every experience of life, even in the darkness. He is with us. And Powell goes on to tell, before his Presbyterian pastorate in New York City, David H.C. Reed was a chaplain in the United States Army. During World War II, he was a prisoner of war in a camp on the outskirts of Rouen, France. In 1941, they had hopes that they would be sent home for Christmas. but instead, they were sent to a POW camp near Poland. The bitterly cold Christmas of 1941 was a low hour for those men. Then Christmas came. And if by a stroke of the supernatural, a transformation took place, the German commandant brought in a giant Christmas tree. The prisoners made an elaborate Christmas card and gave it to the commandant. They took a weak cup of hot chocolate to a cold, lonely German guard, then another guard, massive in size, with his belt and revolver strung tightly around, sang Silent Night, Holy Night, to a huddled group of crippled prisoners. Into a POW camp, full of physical pain and spiritual pain, had come that miraculous transforming presence. This is the miracle of Emmanuel, this God who is with us in our pain. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman. And Paul is simply telling us here that Jesus came into the world the same way everyone else does, through the miracle of birth. He was a real human being, and He experienced all that it meant to be human. Born of a woman. Born under the law. He was a Jewish male in first century Palestine. He was subject to the laws and customs and traditions of his people. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption to sonship. To redeem means to buy out of the hand of a person. It means to set free, to rescue from loss. And Maxie Dunham tells us in his commentary that whenever Paul mentions the word redeemed, he has a picture of the cross in his mind. Indeed, he does. In chapter 3, verse 13, Paul stated, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole.'" And that word that is translated pole here means a tree or anything else that is made of wood. And being found in fashion as a man, Paul tells us in Philippians that Christ Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Following the success of the Communist Revolution in China in 1948, two young men who were given the job of destroying Christian chapels. And one evening at dusk, after they had devastated a small chapel, they decided to sleep in it that night. And as they were lying there on the floor, one of them looked up and saw a crucifix that was up so high that they had not been able to reach it. And he looked at it steadily for a while. And then he said to his companion, "Do you see the picture of God nailed to that stick of wood?" And the other one said, "Yes. What of it?" And the first one answered, "You know, I never saw a God who suffered before. And neither had anyone else in the history of the world, never before and never again. But suffer he did, once for all, on an old rugged cross to redeem a lost world, to set men free, to rescue us from the power and the shame and the consequences of our sin. And I believe that, like the Apostle Paul, Helen Steiner Rice had a picture of the cross in her mind when she wrote all over the world at this season. Expected hands reached to receive. Gifts that are lavishly fashioned. The finest that man can conceive. For purchased and given at Christmas are luxuries we long to possess. Given as favors and tokens to try in some way to express that strange, indefinable feeling which is part of this glad time of year when streets are crowded with shoppers and the air resounds with good cheer. But back of each tinsel-tied package exchanged at this gift-giving season, unrecognized often by many, lies a deeper, more meaningful reason. For born in a manger at Christmas, as a gift from the Father above, an infant whose name was called Jesus brought mankind the gift of God's love. And that is the truth about Christmas. An infant whose name was called Jesus brought you and me and everyone else the gift of God's redemptive love. And this gift, it's yours simply by opening your heart to receive it. Now realize, we have many choices to make this time of year. Which invitations to accept. Which ones to send our regrets. Which gifts to buy and for whom and how much to spend. But the greatest choice anyone can make has to do with the Son God sent into the world. About making Him Savior and Lord of your life. I heard about a man who boarded an airplane one evening when the flight attendant asked him if he would like dinner. He asked, "What are my choices?" And she replied, "Yes or no." I want you to know this morning, when it comes to Jesus Christ, those are your choices. Yes or no. Our hymn of invitation is 121. And I invite you to come this morning. To come and receive Christ as your Savior. To do that publicly before men. To come and unite with His church. To come and recommit your life as we stand and as we sing. You come this morning.